Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of my day. I can see that. Skip Miller is excited about being with me, too. He just can't wait to be back on the show. I know it's a dream come true for him. Skip's the author of a couple of outstanding books, Proactive Sales Management and Proactive Selling. He's the president of M3 Learning. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our good friend Skip Miller. Welcome back.
Jim, I'm dreaming. I love being here. This is a dream come true for today.
It is, isn't it? I can see that.
This is always good stuff. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back too, Skip. And folks, Skip is one of the guys who helps us really get down to where the rubber meets the road, where our salespeople meet our customers, where the deals are made. Nothing happens till somebody sells something. Skip's our guy with regard to all those things. And Skip, we're coming up on Q4, fourth quarter 2004, and there's still an awful lot of business to be had this year, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, Jim. And what I see a lot of small business owners doing right now is doing their forecast, looking what's in their funnel and saying, okay, here's the deals I can close. These are my good qualified ones. And putting, you know, 90 to 100% of their effort on current deals that are identified. And that's really good. But this is still September, coming up in October. And I think this is a perfect time for really pushing the metal to the, you know, floor of the pedal there on prospecting in 2 levels. One is your current prospecting effort, really focusing on what has to happen. But this is a great time to go back to your current customers and say, how'd we do this year? You know, how was everything? What are you planning to do next year? We so keep our eye on the dollar signs that we see in our forecast for the fourth quarter, we forget that this is an absolute perfect time to talk to our current customers and saying, hey, you're probably forecasting what you're doing next year. What is it? What's going on? How can we help you?
What can we do?
It's hysterical. We're so focused on, you know, okay, we got that fourth quarter. We got those 7 deals. Let's go close them, which is good.
And then we wake up on January 1st in the next year and we say, what am I going to do? Where's my business going to come from? You know, one of the coolest, most pleasant, most enjoyable sales calls you'll ever make on a customer is when you've already got their business and you don't ask them for anything. You except to ask them, what can you do to help in the future? I mean, the tension that goes away from that meeting when they know all they got, that you're there to talk to them about their future, it really is a great feeling, isn't it?
It is. And what we suggest people do is in the fourth quarter, all right, have 4 customers. In the fourth quarter, 4 customers, you go knock on their door, call the most senior executive you can, and say, hi, we've done some business with you. We really appreciate that. Thank you. What's going on with you for fourth quarter and first quarter next year? What are your plans? Because every company, even your small business owners, Jim, everyone's planning some sort of growth, change, different vertical market they're going after, something.
Right.
And because those customers are doing something new and different, they're actually changing, which people hate to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's hysterical, Jim. I'll be in front of a crowd of a couple hundred people, and I'll say, how many people here believe that, you know, for the most part, people hate to change? Everybody raises their hand. Oh,
right.
Yeah, people don't like to change. But how many people in this room are okay with change? Oh, I'm okay with change. It's everybody else who's got a problem with change. You're asking these senior executives, the top people in your customers, the small business owners, to do something they hate to do. You're asking them to change.
Mm-hmm.
And because their market, their customers, their you know, competitors are asking them to change. They're going into uncertain grounds. They're spending tons of time planning for it. Just think this is a great time because right now this is when the top executives of your small business owners' customers are planning their change to knock on the door and say, I may have a solution for you.
Right. Well, and if you go in, if you go into those calls without your product kit bag, without in your price list, and you are at least not planning on pulling it out, either one of those out, you go in there with the attitude of, you know, what can we do to help you in the future? You're going to be seen as a problem solver. And one of the things I'd like to point out as we go to the break, Skip, that I want you to talk about when we come back, because you do this better than anybody I know, and that is that the person that you deal with every day might not be the person to ask that question of. You may have to go. You may have to go up a notch or two, and we're going to talk to Skip about that, or get him to talk to us, I should say, about that right after these messages. Tony Tail will be right back with Skip Miller. He is the author of Proactive Sales Management.
She's only another mile.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. Skip Miller is our guest. He's the author of Proactive Sales Management and Proactive Selling. He also is the president of M3 Learning. Skip, give us your website, please.
It's www.m3, the number three, m3learning.com.
Tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find the ability to buy the Proactive Sales book for the salespeople, the Proactive Sales Management, which is still number one on Amazon.com, which is kind of funny. You type in sales management, 60,000 books come up, and this comes up still as the number one book.
Congratulations.
Which I'm happy about. My family keeps buying 20, 30 copies a week, so that's kind of fun. That's
good,
not true.
Good for those aunts and uncles, right?
Yeah, so and then we got some CDs on there. So things that, again, make the salespeople and the sales manager better at the point of attack, when they're making the sales call, when they're doing the thing. That's what we try to do.
All right. Now, I mentioned that the person that you're calling on in Q4 to look into the future and to see what you can do to help them, the person that you do business with every day, that you fill orders with, and that you know may or may not be the person who does the visioning, who's doing the planning, the strategy for 2005. So you might have to go up a notch or two.
You know, when we talk about four in the fourth quarter, we're talking about, you know, the small business owner and their top salespeople and you know, go make calls on customers. Typically, we're calling on people who are really engrossed in our product or service. They know our product as well as we do. They really use the product well. And those people are really important to us. They're the ones who make a decision between us and a competitor and vendor A versus vendor B. And those are really important people. They're really focused at the features and the functions of what our products and services do. But the higher level people, the executives, right, those people really don't care a lot about features and functions. And what happens is we go in there with our product book and our price book and say, well, here's our new product book this year, and we did it in color, and we got – they don't care. What
right.
they care about, all they care about is, what are you doing for me relative to helping me increase my revenues or decrease my cost for next year?
Well,
increase revenue, decrease cost.
What's going on that you may not know about is that somebody is saying, okay, if we could get that box that these widgets come in, never mind who the widgets come from, we don't really care about that because we know we can get them eight different places from Sunday. What if we can get that box of widgets from the back door to the middle of the plant without our people touching it, that would save us $25,000 a month.
Faster and less risk.
Right. And so
focus on time, because money, increased revenue, decreased cost, money takes many forms. It takes ROI, it takes time, it takes risk. There's many different things that money can represent. And the problem, Jim, as I find, is you go to these big customers, our really important customers, we knock on the senior executive's door, and we're speaking the wrong language.
Mm-hmm.
We speak the language we speak every day when we call on that vendor.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have called these, as you all know, the lower level, the typical people who use our product, we call them Spaniards, the senior people we call Russians, and the top people we call Greek.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a meeting with the Russians and the Greeks. You know, the salesperson's a bit nervous, so they go to what they talk about all the time.
They
start speaking Spanish.
The product of the month.
Yeah.
And this guy doesn't care. He doesn't care about products, because he knows products are commodities.
See, but the salesperson is really excited because they got this new product for next year.
Right.
And they want to start talking about it.
With all these new colors and bells and whistles.
And about 10 minutes into the meeting, the Russian, the more senior buyer in the company, right, is sitting there going, what do I care? This sounds Spanish to me.
Right.
I'm a Russian. I speak Russian.
Right.
So the cool, you know, if you're going to prepare for your four in the fourth quarter, if you're going to go start talk to Russians, speak Russian. Prepare for a conversation about what are they doing to save themselves time to become more competitive. What are the risks that they face for the next quarter and next year that they're concerned enough about to spend money on? That's what you want to go in and talk to them about, not your new product of the month, as you say.
One of the things that I've said this a thousand times on this show in the last two or three years, people more and more and companies are valuing their time more than they are their money.
Time is money, and we all know that. You're exactly right.
But it used to be a cliche. Now it's a management strategy.
Well, that's because we can quantify it. If something takes us 2 months longer to do something, our competitors kick our tail, we can quantify that.
That's right. Absolutely.
People will definitely pay for time. And you don't have to be the whole thing. If something takes a vendor 3 months to do, and you can save them one step in the process that mm-hmm. saves them a month, you become an integral part of the whole process. You don't have to alone. Why on earth do you have to think you have to stand alone? Just be contributing to the process of saving them time.
Well, let me throw something else out, Skip. If you are convinced, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you don't have anything that can help them, what you need to realize is just talking to them at that level, letting them know that you're capable of plugging in at the strategy level, even if you can't actually save them any time or money, just letting them know that you're capable of being part of that solution, if that could go a long way towards solidifying your relationship with them.
Well, then a couple months from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, when something does come up and they need you, they're calling you. Wow, that's a great prospecting vehicle.
Absolutely. No question about
it. Yeah, exactly right.
Now, and of course, as we head into the break here, Skip, one of the things to remember, and I know you want to talk about that when we come back, is while you're making these four calls this quarter, that's the prospecting for the future. You also got to be putting rocks in the box for this quarter too, don't you, Skip?
Yeah, let's get back and talk about fourth quarter when we come back, and things that the small business owner can specifically do to maximize their fourth quarter effort. You bet.
But remember, if this were easy, monkeys would be doing it, folks. You got to do both. You got to prospect and sell. And Skip Miller's helping us with that. We're going to be back after these messages. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
And the lights divine. The smoke and lifted shadows stretch and blend on either side. Either side. On the precipice, the moment must reveal.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little bit of Steely Dan for you there. Skip Miller is with us. Skip's a good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. You can find him all over our website at jbsba.com. He's the author of Proactive Sales Management, which is that's the new one, isn't it, Skip?
Proactive Selling's the new one.
Oh, Selling, okay.
Management coming out on Prospecting is coming out the beginning part of next year, which, of course, I'll debut on your show.
Absolutely. We expect you to launch that on the show. So Proactive Selling and Proactive Sales Management, something for everybody. Okay, we still got to put rocks in the box in fourth quarter, Skip. We prospecting is great, and we got that now. But what about fourth quarter? We got to eat this month.
Well, you're getting ready for the fourth quarter, and we've talked about this before. I want to make sure out of all the deals in my funnel that right now I have as clean a funnel as possible, as clean as possible. And the way you do that is not look at the dollar sign and say, I'm going for the big ones, or I'm going for the, quote, the most sure ones, or whatever. A great vehicle right now is to ask yourself, again, thinking like from a buyer, right, which ones of these people in my funnel, which ones have what we call an implementation date? What date have they said they're going to start using the product, put it in production, take it on their dock, get it up and running? Which customers have said, this is the date I'm going to have it up and running. Not what date they say they're going to sign a contract.
Right.
That's such a sales term.
When are they going to put it in service?
Buyers always think of implementation dates. What date are they going to have this up and running? We call the I date or implementation date the maybe buster. Yeses are great. Noes are great. Maybes will kill you because all they do there is sit there and they take resource. And there's about 30 to 40% of most salespeople's funnels are maybes. So let's get rid of the maybes right now. And a great way to do that is to say, what date has the customer said they're going to put this thing in production? Well, I don't know. I haven't asked them, but I'm sure they'd say
right.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, folks, if you just got a little uncomfortable when Skip said, what's the I date for your customers, then you got some work to do.
Well, think about it, Jim. Every person on the planet, me included, says, okay, when do you think they're going to sign? When do you think they're going to commit? When do you think? It's our natural curiosity. But
right.
Buyers don't think that way.
Well,
buyers care less when they can sign. Buyers want to know, when am I going to start using it?
Well, just like signing the contract, that's your date. The I date,
yeah.
The I date that Skip's talking about, that's their date. And,
well,
and
I was
so,
talking to one of my salespeople just the other last week, and we're working on this big deal here in California and stuff, and he goes, you know, I probably should get this thing in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I go, well, good, Scott, but what date did they say they want to start the training?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's an I date, right, Skip? I go, yep, you got it. We even forget to use our own tools sometimes
right.
in our sales situations.
Right.
You know, and the killer is most of the time, Jim, when you go back to the customer and say, excuse me, what date, when did you really want to start using this? And you, what scares you is most of the time the customers have one.
Right.
We just forgot to ask because we're
well,
so clued into our sign date.
And as long as you keep talking about, the more you talk about your dates and less about their dates, the more either consciously or subconsciously you're seen as not being part of the solution.
You're a vendor.
That's right. That's exactly right. Like all those other 10,000 vendors out there.
I'm telling you what, you're a vendor now. Put a dollar, get a Coke. You're a vendor.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
You got a choice. You could be part of the people who have to help what we call create the solution box, you know, the whole area of a solution, or you could be a vendor. I mean, and the best way right now is, to, I mean, it scares a lot of small business owners, Jim, when they sit down with their salespeople, okay, guys, let's go through these 40 customers, 20 customers, whatever, in the fourth quarter, and let's see which ones have an I date. And that gets about a third. Now, the other two-thirds, let's go ask them.
Right.
I can't think of anything for the next 2 weeks more powerful to set yourself up for success in the fourth quarter than making sure the people who we start closing October 1, we're confident that we've got an I date.
We've qualified, like we've qualified them enough to know that we can ask them for an I date.
Yeah. And I tell you what, the lower level, the Spaniards go, you know, I don't know. I'm just doing this because I'm being told what to do. The senior people are the ones who say, I see this running with this, and we plan on having that done and up and running by November 10th.
Right.
Again,
and that means
call for a Russian, because I tell you what, you sit there, okay, I'm going to call my purchasing agent and
right.
ask them what the I date is. And the guy's going to go, I don't know. Give me your best price.
That's right. Exactly. Skip, we're going to have to wrap it up because we're coming up on the end of the hour. Well done. Good job. You've given us some good action items to work on between now and the end of the year. Thanks for being here today. Good job.
Always a pleasure, Jim. And take care of yourself and to your small business owners. Have a great, great, great fourth quarter.
Skip Miller, ladies and gentlemen, m3learning.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.